Welcome to the World of Woodhouse, a series of podcasts from the P.G. Woodhouse Society, UK, to commemorate the work of P.G. Woodhouse on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of his death. I'm Alexander Armstrong, and I have the huge privilege of being president of the P.G. Woodhouse Society, UK, a literary society of enthusiasts that celebrates Woodhouse and his work. And it is my delightful duty to introduce the latest guest in this series of podcasts.
Hi, I'm Simon Brett, and I'm honoured to be a patron of the P.G. Woodhouse Society. I've always been kind of aware of Woodhouse because I went to the same school as he did, Dulwich College, not obviously at the same time, but as I was at the school, I was aware of this great writer who had been there. And I couldn't actually get into Woodhouse reading him at that age. I'd got a lot of friends in my teens and 20s who kept recommending him, saying how wonderful he was. And I don't know, I couldn't. There's something, maybe it was the plots, I don't know. Anyway, I was in my 40s when I suddenly came round to understanding and appreciating the skill of the writer, which of course was a great bonus because there were all those books which I hadn't read and lay ahead of me. And now, as we approach the 50th anniversary of the great humorist's death, it's wonderful to be celebrating him. I've been asked to read a favourite passage, and gosh, there are so many to choose from. I went a bit random, actually, and just picked up a book that I'd enjoyed and found a bit that I love. And this is from Chester Forgets Himself, from a collection of golfing stories entitled The Heart of a Goof. The story, as ever, is narrated by the golf club's oldest member. "Hush," I said. Out of the corner of my eye, I had seen a girl approaching, and I was afraid lest Chester, in his annoyance, might use strong language, for he was one of those golfers who are apt to express themselves in moments of emotion with a good deal of generous warmth. "Eh?" said Chester. I jerked my head, and he looked round, and as he did so, there came into his face an expression which I had seen there only once before, on the occasion when he won the President's Cup on the last green by holing a 30-yard chip with his mashie. It was a look of ecstasy and awe. His mouth was open, his eyebrows raised, and he was breathing heavily through his nose. "Golly," I heard him mutter. The girl passed by. I could not blame Chester for staring at her. Oh, she is a beautiful young thing with a lissome figure and a perfect face. Her hair was a deep chestnut, her eyes blue, her nose small and laid back, with about as much loft as a light iron. She disappeared, and Chester, after nearly dislocating his neck trying to see her around the corner of the clubhouse, emitted a deep, explosive sigh. "Who is she?" he whispered. Well, I could tell him that. In one way and another, I get to know most things around this locality. She is a Miss Blakeney, Felicia Blakeney. She has come to stay for a month with the Waterfields. I understand she was at school with Jane Waterfield. She is 23, has a dog named Joseph, dances well, and dislikes parsnips. Her father is a distinguished writer on sociological subjects. Her mother is Wilmot Royce, the well-known novelist, whose last work, Sewers of the Soul, was, you may recall, jerked before a tribunal by the Purity League. She has a brother, Crispin Blakeney, an eminent young reviewer and essayist, who is now in India studying local conditions with a view to a series of lectures. She only arrived here yesterday, so this is all I have been able to find out about her. As yet, Chester's mouth was still open when I began speaking. By the time I had finished, it was open still wider. The ecstatic look in his eyes had changed to one of dull despair. "My God," he muttered, "if her family is like that, what chance is there for a roughneck like me? You admire her? She is the alligator's Adam's apple, said Chester simply. I patted his shoulder. Have courage, my boy, I said. Always remember that the love of a good man to whom the pro can give only a couple of strokes in 18 holes is not to be despised. Yes, that's all very well. But this girl is probably one solid mass of brain. She will look on me as an uneducated warthog. Well, I will introduce you and we will see. She looked a nice girl. Oh, you're a great describer, aren't you? Said Chester. A wonderful flow of language you've got, I don't think. Nice girl. Why, she's the only girl in the world. She's a pearl among women. She's the most marvellous, astounding, beautiful, heavenly thing that ever drew perfumed breath. He paused, as if his train of thought had been interrupted by an idea. Did you say that her brother's name was Crispin? I did. Why? Chester gave vent to a few manly oaths. Doesn't that just show you how things go in this rotten world? What do you mean? I was at school with him. And the story unfolds, the unpleasantness at school and all that. What I love about those stories is that, I hate golf. I have no interest in it at all. And yet, it's part of Woodhouse's genius that he can tell stories about human characters, and regardless of the setting, they're still absolutely riveting. I think what I love about Woodhouse is the quality of his individual lines. I now have a copy of one of his books at my bedside. And, you know, if I've finished a book or if I've just got 10 minutes, I'll pick it up. And I know that wherever I open it, I will find something wonderful. Individual lines, like this is one of my favourites, describing someone who spent an evening drinking a bit too much. He climbed into the bed as it came round the second time. I've been there. I love it. I'm Simon Brett. I may have come to him late, but I am now an ardent PG Woodhouse fan. Thank you.